sode ijo taye ye o ma kore bi to.
Father, we thank you for your awesome presence in our midst this morning. Thank you for the move of your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Ghost. As we go into your word this morning, shine your light into our hearts. Let your word come out with power and with strength of the Holy Ghost, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, bless your name. In Jesus' name we are praying. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Once again, I welcome you to serve you this morning. And for those of you who are joining us online via our social media outlets, by audio, by video, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, I welcome you to our service this morning. When Pastor Mr. Salami was opening the service this morning, and he quoted that passage of the scripture, I was wondering, did she take a hold of my sermon notes? That I can't remember her picking my iPad or my tablet. But it just shows that the Spirit of God is one. Today, I'll be talking about the path of wisdom. The path of wisdom. The Bible makes us understand that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And among thy getting, get understandings. That's the Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, but that's not my text. I'm taking my text this morning from the book of Proverbs chapter 1, and we are going to read from verse 7 to 9. Proverbs chapter 1, not Matthew chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 1, and we are going to read from verse 7 to 9. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother." Verse 9, "For there shall be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains about your neck." Can we read it in NIV version? Can you give me the NIV version? "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and" what? "Discipline." Verse 8, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Listen to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Verse 9, "There will be a garland." What is garland? For decoration, for celebration, for honor. "There will be a garland to grace your head, a chain to adorn your neck." I said this morning, I am talking about the path of wisdom. The verse 7 was saying that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Some people quote it wrong. They say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Is that what the Bible says? See, we are in a generation in the age of knowledge. Academic knowledge, social knowledge, political knowledge, economic knowledge is increasing every day. And the Bible says, of making of books, there is no end. And many people, the Bible says, they keep on learning, they never come to the knowledge of truth. But Bible makes us understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Of what? Knowledge. And that presupposes that our knowledge, the knowledge we gather, should be guided by the fear of the Lord. So many kind of knowledge we gather to get today, they are not knowledge that is profitable, that is useful, that can help our life, because they are not based on the fear of the Lord. But the Bible is now saying, if you go further than that, he said that beginning of knowledge, and the fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let me tell you something. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. If you look at that verse 7, he talks about three things. He talks about knowledge, he talks about wisdom, he talks about what? Instruction. So if you are able to navigate this triad successfully, you will live an impactful life. Say, but fools, they despise wisdom and instruction. Many people have knowledge, but they lack wisdom. Say, the fear of that is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Knowledge is just understanding of something. Am I right? It can be understanding right or wrong. It can be illumination about what is happening. Even when you look at the gift of the Spirit, the word of knowledge is there from the word of wisdom. Am I right, sir? In the ninth gift of the Spirit, you have the gift of word of knowledge. You have the gift of word of wisdom. Knowledge will give you understanding. Wisdom will give you guidance. Let me give you a biblical example. When you look at the Bible, when Pharaoh had a dream and he couldn't understand it, God made Joseph not only to interpret it, that is knowledge, word of knowledge, but now gave him wisdom as to what to do. So what am I saying? Many of us today, we come to church, we read the Bible, we have knowledge, we are full of knowledge, but the wisdom that makes us to profit from knowledge, we do not want it. Because that will involve sometimes discipline, instruction, and many things we don't want to do. We don't want to be instructed. We want to go our own way. And this morning, I want to tell you, my brother, my sister, if you are being a member of this ministry, if you come to church every Sunday, if you come to Bible study every Wednesday, you come to the hour encounter every Friday, and the only thing you come to do is to acquire knowledge of the world, it's a colossal waste of time. But how it becomes profitable is when you receive guidance. And that is the wisdom we are talking about. The Bible said that, my son, listen to the instruction of your father. Go back to that NIV, verse 8. I'm still trying to throw this message. I will not, before I go into the core of the message, go to verse 8. Go to verse 8 of NIV. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. And do not forsake your mother's teaching. See, when you talk about instruction, it's about guidance about life. It's about guidance about steps. It's about direction about how to live. Like I was saying earlier on, you can read the Bible and get understanding. But wisdom can come from the pulpit. It can come by the instruction of the Holy Spirit. It can come by the counsel of the elders. But what we have today, we have a generation who do not want wisdom of the elders. They don't want the counsel or instruction from the pulpit. They just want to hear and decide on their own. But the Bible is saying that you are supposed to listen, because this will be, if you look at verse 9, say it will be like a garland. If you want your life to be decorated, you want your life to be meaningful, say there will be a garland to grace. I like that rendition. A garland to grace your hair and a chain to adorn your neck. If actually we put to practice, if actually we put to life the teachings and instruction we receive from people every day, I'm sure we'll not be like this. I'm sure we'll be better off. I'm sure we have less problem. But the problem that we have today is that people don't want to listen. See, the resources we have in this house is not just about the messages that we preach. It's not just about the facility that we have. But we have the resources of the elders, of brothers, of fathers, of mothers. But how many of us ever seek counsel from these people? How many of us, if the only thing you do is just to come to church on Sunday, listen to the word and go away, and all the decisions of your life are taken by yourself or by your peers, you are doing yourself a very great disservice.
We have fathers and mothers in the house. We have brothers, we have sisters, we have uncles in the house. Who can help you with wisdom? Yes, we know you have knowledge. Yes, we know you have understanding. But you need wisdom. And wisdom does not just come cheap. It comes by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And many of us, if the only thing we do is just to flip through our Bible and read that. Let me ask, who are your fathers? And who are your mothers? For your information, your fathers are not necessarily your biological fathers. Your mothers are not necessarily your biological mothers. Father is a role. Mother is a role. So, and we have people that God has placed around for you to benefit from. But people don't want to listen. People don't want to bring themselves under their wisdom. People want to go and just do their own things. And that is why we keep on making mistakes. We need to validate some of our decisions, some of our intentions, some of our steps sometimes. But what do we have? Many of us, we like to validate our decision by our peers. I will tell you, even I as a person, there are people that are above me, more experienced than me, more elderly than me, that most crucial decisions in my life, I still need to validate from them. Not because God cannot speak to me. But I want to address all this morning. For those of us who think we are wise, we are knowledgeable, we are okay, we are hearing from God. This morning, I want you to know that God wants to tap the wisdom of the fathers and mothers. See, when a great man dies, it's a whole library that is dead. When a great woman dies, it's a great library that is dead, because there is that's why the Morris said that the graveyard is the greatest mind in the world. You have potential, you have wisdom, you have knowledge. We have a lot of resources you can tap around. But what happens? Many of us, we go through what I call the Rehoboam syndrome. You know the Rehoboam syndrome? Rehoboam was the young son of Solomon. How old was he when he became king? 17 years. And he had a great opportunity to gather the entire 12 tribes of Israel together. But he wanted to take a decision. He said he called the elders together. He said, the people who ran away from Israel to Egypt under his father, who fell oppressed, they came back to him voluntarily. And he asked him, can you show a little kindness so that we can serve you and our children forever? He said, come back in 3 days' time. I'll give you a reply. And he called the elders. And the elders told him that, look, if only you can show kindness to these people, you are going to be the lord over all of them, and you are going to have peaceful reign and rule over them. He said, thank you. He then went back to his own peers and asked them. So when he went to the other, he said, if you go read that passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, read from verse 3 to 16. He said, how should I answer them? That was asked the other. But when he went to his colleague, he said, how should we? Do you get what I'm saying now? How should we answer them? And those said, look, tell them that my father no beat, I mean, beat you with whips. I will beat with scorpions. Can you imagine that? Say, my little finger will be bigger than my father's waist. He threatened. That's what you tell them. And he listened to the cancer. He validated his life. He validated his destiny. He validated his decision by the cancer of his peers. And the moment he said that, 12 tribes, 10 out of the 12 tribes went away. He became a ruler over the minority. And that's how he lost it. So many of us, we are getting a little bit of what God has proposed for our lives because we have not harnessed the wisdom that we need that can help us. So what am I saying this morning? I want us to, as members of this ministry, anywhere you are hearing me, how do you live your life? Let me ask you, the decision you have made last 1 month, how did you validate them? The step you are taking the last 1 year, how did it come about? See, just I'm me. God can talk to me. God can speak to me. God can see. Problem of the youth of today. They think that their life is a communal life. That I want to be like my friends. Rehoboam syndrome. But you don't know that your life belongs to you. That what Rehoboam did not realize. He said, how should we answer them? He wanted to work as a collective. Not realizing that his destiny is individual. And when you see people and young men come under the influence of the peers today, sometimes ago, not long ago, a sister was talking to me, said that one man, I mean, thank God I even, not in this church, so if I'm mentioning this example, I won't use the example of a member of this church on this pulpit. It's even unethical. Except it's a testimony. Came to me and said, look, one man was trying to use that. I said, what? I said, don't worry, I'm going to treat his fuck up. I never had that was the first time I was hearing it. I said, well, I said, that day more worry, more maltreat, all mess of maltreat fuck up. How many of you know you've had that slang before? I never had it. When he, what does it mean to treat his fuck up? He said, don't worry. Magba wo where? Show low water for nanny. Said that's what we do. When men mess up, we treat their fuck up. And I said, where did you get this wisdom? He said, that's what girls do. You mess around, we treat your fuck up. That is Rehoboam syndrome. But that is the knowledge of the world. Is that wisdom of God? And if the man also comes back to treat your fuck up, so both of you will fuck yourself up. So, peers, babies giving cancer to babies. You want to take this about you to marry. The only people you go to are just your friends. You want to take this about what to do. It's among your friends that will take this year. You want to do something, it's among your friends. You forget that their fathers, their mothers, their uncles, their elders, God has placed that you might profit from them. And see, that's why you have a psyche of problem. There was a media, are you ready? There was a video that somebody sent to one of the group I belong to. Now, no, just, can you start from the beginning? Can you look at that? This is what they are doing. They gather together, everybody with different kind of wine, alcoholic drink, and you drink your own, you pass your own. So you until take all different types of drinks. Repeat it again. Repeat it again. Just 1 minute. You see that? That's the Rehoboam syndrome. Because they tell themselves, and we, if any of them had asked, had validated this kind of habit from the elders, from the fathers, from the mother, would they have gone ahead? But when you only circulate among your friend, that's part of foolishness. The part of wisdom is the guided path. The part of wisdom is the part that listens to the teachings of the father, to the instruction of the mother, or the instruction of the father or the teacher or the mothers. But many people come to church today. They just come for service. They sing, they dance, but what they hear, it doesn't concern them. They still go ahead and do what they like. Say, my son, listen to the instruction of your father. Obey the laws of your mothers. See, look at the Bible. Every great man, every great person, God has placed them under instruction. It's only those who submit to instruction, those who obey teachings, and those who put to pass in their lives that actually become, end up being great. Even as great as Moses was, he had to obey the instruction of Jethro, two of us. Without that, he wouldn't have developed that leadership ability. He would have lost his ministry. Even Jesus Christ, I was asking myself, when they call Jesus the carpenter, what does that mean? It meant that he learned carpentry. What carpentry, what has it got to do with his ministry? Look at me for 3.5 years. Did he use another carpentry? No, but he had to go through instruction. Truth, and he submitted himself to something that was actually useless to the entire purpose of his life, learning carpentry under his father, and became a carpenter before he went to the ministry. And that's why the Bible says he learned obedience through what? What is offered. But many of us, we don't want to really obey. When you see young men, young women who are running away from the searchlight of the elders, it's because they have something to hide. And the moment you begin to hide, the darkness continues to increase. But when you bring yourself under the searchlight of God, Bible said the path of a righteous man shineth brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. I am encouraging you this morning, validate your life from those who can guide you. Validate your steps from those who can help you. Don't keep your things to yourself and your peers. In this church, what we say, our vision is to raise. We say to raise a seed generation. And when I was talking to some people, sometimes the guy said, what do you mean want me to raise? When you are raising a plant, it involves pruning. Any plant can grow. When you see a plant that grows in the wild, it grows anyhow. Am I right? But when a plant is raised in the nursery, it is fit for purpose. It is pruned. It is built for an agenda. So if you are to be raised, you have to be pruned. But if you just come and you don't want to be pruned, you just hide, you come to the church and go away. But you are not doing yourself a great service. See, look at what the Bible said. Go to book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 to 17, quickly. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. Verse 16 to 17. Jeremiah chapter 6. This is what the Lord said. Give me KJV. Give me KJV. Thus said the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the whole path. Where is the good way? And walk therein. Look at what the Bible says. Says you should, this word the Lord is saying, stand ye in the way and see. Not only see, you should do what? You should ask. Apart from listening to the messages in the church and going away, how often do you ask? When last did you ask? You don't only see, he said you should do what? You should tell somebody ask. Tell somebody ask. You have eyes, you can see. Bible says you should not only see, even though you are seeing, but do what? Ask for the whole path. Where is the good way? And then do what? Walk therein. And you shall find what? Find rest for your souls. But what happened? But they say, we will not walk therein. Because they despise wisdom. They want knowledge, but they don't want wisdom. They will not ask. And when they are told, they will say, we will not walk therein. We will do it our own way. When you come to a church of God, say, no, in a place, this is not we, my family, don't do it this way. In my home, we don't do this way. You don't know the church of God is to prune you, to reshape you. How can you come to the church and it's a colossal waste of time? You come to the church and it remains the way you are. We come saying, this is where I come from, this is why we behave. Then that means we want to remain the same way. And you are just wasting your time. Because the church of God is for pruning. The church of God is for building. The church of God for discipline. The church of God is for instruction. The church of God is for guidance. But you say, no, just leave me the way I am. I have the spirit of God. I can also hear God. They are saying they are home. I go back and discuss with my friends. I go back and do the way we do in our family. I go back and do it the way where I come from. They say, we will not walk therein. Go to the next verse. Also, I set what? Watchmen. I set watchmen over you, saying, I came to the sound of the trumpet. But they say, we will not hearken. Don't build a reputation for being a rebellious child. Don't build a reputation for being obstinate and say, look, it's my own way I want to follow. That's not the way to follow God. That's not the way to part of wisdom. That's not the way to grow. Members of Cedar. Members of Cedar. Ask for the old ways. Walk therein. Don't say, I want to be myself. Nobody's take away your individuality, but submit your individuality to the sovereignty of God. Submit your individuality to the searchlight of the Holy Spirit. Submit your individuality to the guidance by the instruction of the wise counsel of the people of God. Otherwise, coming to church is just a ceremony, just a ritual. It's just a routine. The path of wisdom is a path of seeking wisdom
and walking in the ways of the Lord. Because the Bible says, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. See, each time I read Proverbs 29:1, I really wonder what's God up to. Say that a child has been often reproved and hardened his neck. No, I just wonder. He said it's going to be water. I don't want to show that people will not misunderstand it. But what was the Bible? I wonder. Let us bring ourselves as children of God under the counsel of the Lord. For those of you who have been doing your own things your own way, I want to admonish you this morning. See the counsel of the elders. No, I was telling you about when I was preaching about the prodigal son. Remember what I said? That one of the greatest problem of the elder brother. Yes, he was in the house with the father. He was going out and coming in, but he never had, he didn't draw from the wisdom of that man. He didn't have relationship with that man. He had a kind of official interaction. We have so many young men who can benefit from elderly people. You are a sister, there are women here. You are a brother, there are men here. I keep on saying, those of you, you have not been old like us, but we have been young like you. True of us. There's nothing that you are passing through that we have not passed through, but you might be in a different version. In our own days, there were Playboy magazine, but your own days is on your phone now. You don't need magazine. In our own days, there were cinemas. In your own day, there are clubhouses. So there's nothing you have passed through that were not passed through. So you have not been as old as well, but we are being as young as you are. Why don't you see cancer? Why don't you tap from the sources in the house? Why don't you tap from the wisdom of the elders? I remember several, each time I go to see my mom, my dad is late, my mom is alive. Every time I go to my mom, there are certain things I see draw from her. I like to sit down with her, interrogate her, interview her, ask her certain things. She might say 10 things. I may not agree with all the 10. That or that, I might have go away with 3. But those 3 are additional to my life. But many people, many young men, many young people just want to do their own thing. They want to run their life. I want to advise you this morning. Let us make use of resources that God has given unto us. The resources of men and women of God, brothers and sisters, elderly people. You have having academic challenges. There are people who have gone through that. You have having marital challenges. You have people who have gone through that. There's nothing you are going through that others have not experienced one way or the other. But if you keep on circulating just among yourself, just among your friends, that will be a problem. Finally, as I round up this message, I want to let you know that for your purpose not to be defeated in life, you need the counsel and the wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit and of the elders. Because the Bible says, without counsel, say purpose war is defeated. Hello? I've read the book Purpose Driven, I've read it before. My purpose. But the Bible says, without counsel, what do you say? Purpose is defeated. One can live a purpose driven life and still be a failure if he doesn't have the right counsel. I'm not saying don't consult your friend. I'm not saying don't consult your peer. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong in consulting your friends, in consulting your peer. I do that.
myself. But go a step in addition to that. Validate from others who are more knowledgeable, who are more experienced. And again, put to practice the instruction from the pulpit. Do you say, Pastor is saying so? I go back, I will just tolerate. I know you will tolerate me for the next few minutes. You will tolerate my message. Many of you may not be happy about what I'm saying. But you tolerate me. So let me just tolerate him. I still go where and do my own things. But at the end of the day, who is the loser? You will not be a loser in the mighty name of Jesus. Finally, I want to read Proverbs 22:28. Proverbs 22:28. Proverbs 22:28. Quickly. It says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Remove not the ancient landmarks. There are some landmarks. You might say they are old, they are this, they are that. But the Bible is saying, for anybody, see, the principles remain the same. Whether 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and now, the dynamics might be different. But the core principle, those of you who are in science, Archimedes' principle, has it changed? Law of thermodynamics, has it changed? So if those laws of nature don't change, why do you think that the laws, the principle of God will change? The principle of science, we are only building on it. Nothing fundamental about this has changed. But why do we then think, because of modernity, because of education, because of technology, that the principle of God will change? Is it the same thing? Is it the same thing? Who tell me, look, I can come to and explore a part of my breast because this is a modern age. Has the principle of God changed? No. I can come to church, even as a man, and everybody will be the size of my manhood because the dress is so tight. Has the principle changed? No. I can wear micro mini because now the world is enlightened. Has the principle of God changed? No. Remove not the ancient landmarks. Because anybody that removes it is doing himself a great disservice. I will close from where I started. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. I'm going to read it. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to pray. Proverbs chapter 1, flash it again on the screen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. Verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head and chains about your neck. Do you want grace? Do you want honor? Do you want to be saved by God? Hear the instruction of the Lord and walk in wisdom. Stand on your feet. Yes, if you're happy, clap. If you're hungry, don't clap. I want us to speak to God this morning that God will help me to be pruned. See, pruning involves some pains. When a tree is being pruned, something will be cut off. Am I right? And when you are cutting on something, it brings pain. Just like when you are saying surgery, if I say growth, abnormal growth now, they go to surgery. That's why they apply anesthesia, because it brings pain. Even after the anesthesia, when you wake up, you still feel the pain. Am I right? You have to nurse it for some time. But by the moment it heals, you become better off. My dear, some of us, we need to cut off certain things from our lives. It might be some habits. It might be some behaviors. It might be something we are used to. It might be some ways of life. It might be painful to us. Nothing good comes easy. Pruning brings pain. It brings discomfort. But at the end of the day, it brings grace. It brings honor. It brings celebration. I want all of us to pray this morning that God will help us. In any way, our life requires pruning. That God will help us to subject and submit to pruning. And those of us who are running from the scrutiny of herders, that God will give you an obedient spirit so that you bring your life under appropriate authority for guidance, so that I can tap from the wisdom of herders. I don't know how many people has ever approached any elderly person in this church, sir, I want to ask something. Or ma, I want to ask you something. To gain knowledge from them, to gain understanding, to gain wisdom, to receive guidance. We just carry our Bible at the end of Sunday, we go back, we meet the next Sunday. And you have been in the church for 3, 4, 5 years, and you have not been able to tap from the source of the house. And you are saying, I'm a member of that ministry. And there are mobile libraries here. There are mobile resources. You might not be a young person, might be an elderly person, but you don't even validate your decision. From elderly people, from those who are more experienced, let us pray that God will help us today to walk in the path of wisdom. The path of wisdom is the guided path. It's the path that's guided by instruction. And let us ask that if there's any habit that is wrong, that is becoming a problem, so that God will break it today. That God will break it. Any habit that has clung onto us and has held us captive, that God will liberate us. Masita laba. Sheke pa sintraliba, renso po sha I pralaga shintalaba, ra inda kaska pa shindeliba, ra o kaski po shi palaba, ra anda si pa shintalaba, ra anda ko se po shala, re e seke po sha andalaba, re suka pa sandalaba. In the mighty name of God, I woke up, Reverend Dino, just come and pray on this as we round up the message. Ma santalaba. Lift your hands even as you render this man. You are online, lift your right hand.
Ora shikayama katerimo soto priya. Ligara ziriba. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. And it gives understanding to the simple, the fools, the foolish. Jesus said to the man that came to see cancer, one thing thou lackest. Go, do this and do this. This morning, Holy Spirit will cry to you, that which we lack individually, that which is a missing link in our individual life, you have placed it in the hands of elders, of ministers, of fathers, of mothers in this house. Holy Spirit, we cry to you from this moment. Oh yeah, begin to link us. Begin to connect us. We remove the barricade. We remove the barrier. We remove the arrogance. We remove the pride. In the name of Jesus. Father, we receive humility. we receive the spirit of meekness to receive and to tap into the resources in this house. Father, give us the spirit of humility and meekness in the name of Jesus. Finally, as the Lord, God's servant mentioned, we agree together on this altar this morning. Every destructive habit, every destructive lifestyle pattern, every addiction to things that can destroy, we come against you this morning. We destroy you before you destroy us. In the name of Jesus. As it has been pronounced in Proverbs chapter 1, from verse 7 to 9, we receive grace. We receive ornament. We receive garlands. Thank you, Father. And for your servant, refill him. For your servant, uphold him. More grace for meekness and humility. More grace to depend on you daily. Thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Let's put hands together for the Lord.